Hey, everybody.
Yes.
Welcome back to the Paid Search Podcast. My name is Jason Rothman. My co-host, my equal, my better, my mentor, Chris Schaefer. Chris, Mr. Preparation.
That's nice of you to say, but totally not true. Jason, when I refer to you, I always say a peer of mine, an AdWords PPC peer. So we're in this together, and I don't consider myself over or under. I think we help each other, you know, pull each other the right direction. So hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 91 of the Paid Search Podcast, where we are doing a B2B case study, which is, depending on your industry that you work in, is either very exciting or incredibly boring for you. But I'm going to keep it as interesting as possible. As I like to say, I'm the B2B guy. Jason is the, are you the moving guy now, Jason? I'm not sure. You like to rebrand yourself.
No, I'm just a great AdWords manager. If you're doing a search campaign with a little remarketing, I'm your guy. Doesn't matter if you're B2B, B2C. I do it all, Chris. So Okay. Any B2B listeners out there, you don't just have to call the guy that says he's B2B every week. You can kind of call the guy that actually is B2B.
I'm all about specialties. Specialties is where I've got where I am. So, but anyway, So we've got a B2B case study. I've got a really cool situation to talk about from beginning to middle to end on how campaigns started, where I got it afterwards, and what work it took to get there. So it's going to be as detailed and inclusive as I can about, you know, what things I did and how it affected things. And also a little bit of client interaction, how I talk to the client and, you know, what you can expect to say up front to a client when you know things are going to happen a certain way, you know, to set expectations a certain way. So should be something for everybody, from the freelancer out there to the in-house guy to the business owner manager himself that's trying to do it himself. So that's what we got to look forward to. But other than that, how are you, Jason, this week?
Oh, how am I this week?
Yeah.
You want to know about me personally or just what you want to use me for an hour a week to grow your business? Because that's the case, you don't need a pander to me. You don't have to ask me how I'm doing.
I want
to
know how you're doing.
Okay.
And?
I heard something today that sometimes people have workaholism because they have problems that they suppress with their work. And I think that's how I'm doing. So I don't really know how I'm doing, Chris. I just work.
Oh, wow.
No, come on, Chris. I'm just kidding. It's the NBA trade deadline. I love the NBA. You're lucky there's not a podcast trade market out there. Call up Josh, call up Walt, you know?
I have no idea what you're talking about. A trade, something, I don't even know.
You say you don't watch sports, but do you watch the CrossFit games when they're on ESPN2 once a year?
Yeah, I do.
Do you really?
Yes.
How did your time stack up to that? Could you be a pro if you dedicate yourself to it full time?
No.
Or do they just have innate talents and stuff?
First of all, I'm too old. Second, no, I don't have that kind of dedication.
Is it a clean sport?
There's no drugs.
Steroid-wise?
No, you can't take drugs. No, come on. No, you can't do that.
Just asking.
No, these are real athletes. The fittest man and fittest woman in the world. Fittest, not strongest.
Where do you, because I know they probably listen, where do you stack up in your gym? Are you like alpha dog?
No, I usually hit like sixth, seventh position on my WOD for the day. So yesterday I was second. I was pretty proud of that. But
do you take days off?
Sure. I asked you one question. You've gone way further. Let's get to the case study.
Let's get to what he really cares about, people using me. Now, Chris, you have this case study. You called it B2B case study, taking an AdWords account from William Hung to Kelly Clarkson. I don't get it.
William Hung, the young man who came onto the show and sung the absolutely horrible rendition of...
I'm just kidding. Oh, I get it.
Okay, you do know. All right.
Good job. Now, Kelly Clarkson in her prime or Kelly Clarkson...
I don't know. I don't know Kelly Clarkson that well. I just...
You know Carrie Underwood's from Oklahoma?
So this this B2B...
All right, so Chris, tell us what kind of company it was, but I also want to know, if you're willing to share, how did they possibly find the great Chris Schaefer? Do you know this?
Well, okay, so... What we're talking about today is a B2B company that sells voiceover services, okay? And I'm going to quickly run down the issues that come with this industry and how it might relate to you. So,
what is a voiceover? Like,
Sure. So, let's say you have a cartoon that runs well in Spain and you have it in Spanish and you want a voiceover in a different language. You can hire someone to do a voiceover in, you know, American English and dub over that. So you pay for voiceover services, or you might just need a professional voice in one language, or you might need it in 15 languages. So that's what this service provides, is multiple language voiceover services with different accents and different dialects based on where you're trying to broadcast your show or your radio or commercial or whatever. So there are a couple things that makes this unique. One is when you have a B2B type of thing, first of all, the amount of traffic that you want to get is going to be cut down 80% less, okay? I usually like to say 1 out of 10, 2 out of 10 searches are going to be relevant to B2B. For every one B2B search, there might be 8 or 9 consumer searches that are completely off target for a business-to-business transaction search. So first off, less traffic. Going to have to cut back way on unwarranted, unwanted traffic. Second, you always have to look out for people that are looking for jobs in this industry. And this was something that this client was having at the time. Lots of people looking for work as a voice talent person, you know, a voiceover person. They want to be a voice talent for a company. So that's something else to watch. So more and more distinguished on exactly the type of traffic that they want. So that was one issue they were having. Give you an example. They were getting one of the top searches in their campaign. The search terms they were getting was the phone number for The Voice. People were searching and clicking on their ad after typing, what's the phone number to vote on The Voice? I mean,
that's a nightmare.
You can't get less crap traffic than that. I mean, that's just...
And a lot of it coming in strong whenever that show airs.
Number one. Oh, yeah. It's going to be immediately spending all of your budget. So that's a nightmare. I mean, that's going to be a complete waste of your spend. So that's just a small sample of the type of traffic they were getting. Also, things like royalty-free music or free background music. You know, so you can imagine the keywords that they had were broad keywords. Mm-hmm. They had broken conversion tracking. They had a very low click-through rate, and they had, as I discussed, very unqualified traffic due to poor, wide-ranging keywords that were just, you know, the word like voiceover, broad match.
However, this account had been running since 2002.
That's what makes it really unique.
So they had to be getting something good to continue their campaign for over a decade before they met you. So were they getting good stuff? And then how did they know they needed you? Like, were they getting inquiries on their website? Like, are you The Voice? Did they actually see the search terms themselves? Did they know how bad their problem was?
They didn't know. Most people don't. When they seek a professional, most of the time they don't know exactly why. They just know that they're spending money and they want to do it more efficiently and effectively. And so they look for help. Most people don't know where to look immediately to figure out how bad it really is. And they didn't know. They just know that they've been doing it for a while and they thought, it's really time to step up our game. Either stop advertising on Google or let's get serious about it. And that's what they decided. Let's get serious about it. They look for someone that could help. And because they've been, now this is something I've talked about before. This is what makes this such a unique situation. Because they've been having an active spend, when I say active spend, I mean they've been spending every single month, every single week, spending money on Google since October 2002. Jason, that's a long, long time to be spending. I'll tell you, anyone out there that's listening, know this. I just talked to a client about this week. If you have an account that's spending consistently since 2005, 2003, maybe 2006, I mean, anything over 10 years, this is a highly valuable campaign, especially if it's been consistent spend, because it puts you in a class of campaigns that has a historical quality score and reliable account spend over a long amount of time. Google tends to favor those. You have a hard time documenting and finding Google. You won't find it. Google will never officially say it, but I've seen it way too many times, and it's out there, and it does make a difference. So this client's unique because they had crap traffic, but the potential to do really well because Google gave them very good standards on their campaign. So a really ripe situation to be able to take something that was really bad and turn it over and generate premium traffic at a very good price.
And Chris, that's a great argument to support what we're always saying. Even if you have a small budget, get started on AdWords, because the longer you're on there, the better chance you're going to have a really great account. So you might as well start today and just get the account starting to get history. So the traffic coming in for the most part was really, really bad, but they were getting really good cost per clicks because it was bad traffic. So their cost per clicks were low. we also have this worldwide availability in terms of auctions to show up on because they service people worldwide. Just looking at the goals of what you were coming in there to do again, it's lead generation. You wanted to get phone calls. You wanted to get lead forms filled out, but they weren't tracking phone calls on their website at the time you came in. So you've got all this data to work with. You know what the goals are. You know what the problems are. What was the first step in changing things and making them better?
Okay, so first of all, this I don't know if this is going to be important or not, but this is a client that's in the UK. So just to put things on reference of how much they were paying, on average, they were paying 36 pence per click. So
and pence or cents?
Pence or cents in the UK. This is something I had to learn.
Well, you obviously know a lot about the UK because you have some clients out there. Now, I would like you to explain to me the difference between the UK, United Kingdom, Great Britain, and England.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not that well versed, but I think that's
what I thought, Mr. Across the Pond. Oh, I'm in the UK all the time, Chris Schaefer. You don't even know what the UK is.
I do too. UK is the little island over there, the grouping of islands.
You better be careful here, Chris. Oh, little island.
True. That's true. That's true. I better be
How
careful.
How about the preeminent power of the world for the first 1,000 years?
The former empire of the world. Yes, you're right. You're right. So it's not really important anyway. So let's just skip over that. I love the UK. Invite me over sometime. I'd be happy to come visit. When I say invite, I mean buy me tickets and hotel room and everything. That's what I mean. Okay, so here's what it looked like. Whenever I built the campaign, one of the first things I had to do is figure out what's good and what's bad. And the easiest way to do that, if you have a campaign that's already spending, is to go through your search queries and maybe download the entire CSV file and just start grabbing and sorting good and bad. Imagine you had a big drawer full of stuff and you're trying to empty out the drawer and figure out what you're going to keep and what you're going to throw away. That CSV file, that spreadsheet that you're going to download of all your search terms is that junk drawer. And just start sorting. This is crap I want to avoid. This is something I want to keep. Keep, avoid, keep, avoid, back. You're going to put things in different areas so that you can at least figure out what have I learned already with this campaign. And that's what I started doing. I started trying to figure out what searches were leading to the people that were looking for jobs.
Right.
And what it looked like when someone's looking to hire someone. That's the distinction that I immediately had to make for this client. Because the search between someone doing a search for hiring a voiceover professional and
booking a voiceover gig.
Yeah. And voiceover companies looking to hire, right?
Voiceover jobs.
Yeah. That's the only difference. It might be the word order. And for you as the AdWords manager, you need to be able to distinguish which one is good and which one's bad. You need to know which one to avoid. And that's going to be the first thing you need to do is sort that search query traffic and figure out what's good and what's bad.
Speaking of 9-to-1 in terms of B2C versus B2B searches, the word voiceover phrase match, did you even want to target that at the beginning or did you just know that's going to pick up way too many B2C searches?
It is something that we did target. You had to
you
be,
tried it.
Yeah, we had to be really careful because of two things. One, you can get so much volume and their budget is so small and it's a worldwide targeted campaign. So it's a lot that can go wrong there. We initially started it and what we did was we decided to keep a very low bid on it. And then higher bids on the more specific Smart. Things. That's how we started. So once we figured out what's the negative keywords and what are going to be some of the best exact terms and phrase match terms, then what we have to do is figure out priorities. Okay, we have all these good things. Throw away all the bad stuff. Put that in the negative box, the negative keyword list. Now we have all the good things. The next step is going to be for us to prioritize what's important. And for this client, it wasn't priority on service because all the services are the same. Couldn't really prioritize the job types because those are all just voiceover jobs. What we had to prioritize was language and countries. So we had to choose things like Arabic voiceover, African-American voiceover, Italian voiceover. These are different languages and different dialects. People wanted accents in their voiceover in order to reach a certain crowd or area they're going to be broadcasting to. Right. So we had to make priorities on where's the most important area that we want to get jobs from. That is how we determined different campaigns that the account's going to be built out on. We decided US, UK, the greater Europe area, You know, those are some of the priorities. And then after that, things fall from there worldwide, different countries and stuff like that. So that was the second step, is establishing priority.
Did you ever have to have a conversation with them about, like, okay, you are worldwide, but your budget is only so and so many pounds a day, and you're saying the US, the UK, and Canada are your most profitable markets, hypothetically. Let's not build out the last 97 countries because we're going to easily spend our budget in your most profitable markets. Was there any kind of conversation like that where you had to cut from this like massive pie that you're starting out with?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I really had to put aside two things because this is a small budget, wide reach, high volume campaign. First thing is, I'm not going to be able to hit my ideal 80% search impression share, 90% search impression share range. I'm going to have to give up on that. Second, this client is not interested, and neither am I, in hitting first position. Dominating first position across all these countries, across thousands and thousands of searches, is just not their goal, because they don't want to spend thousands and thousands of dollars a month. They want to spend, you know, a few hundred. So
right.
What they ended up doing is going for above organic search results. And what we have to do is decide, in the US, let's shoot for 60% search impression share. UK, we'll try for, you know, maybe an 80%. Different goals in different areas. And then worldwide, whatever falls there is fine. If it's 30%, then that's fine.
So Chris, I imagine there's not a lot of competition on searches like The Voice phone number or Vote on The Voice, which they were previously getting traffic from. So when you started getting on there with great quality keywords like voiceover companies, voiceover services, African-American voiceover, Italian voiceover company, whatever, your cost per click is going to skyrocket. So do you have any kind of recollection on how bad, and of course it's not truly bad, but how much higher was the cost per click, and how did you broach that conversation with your client, and did they accept that? Because a lot of clients don't.
Okay, so you're right. A big factor was the fact that they were spending on average 25 pence or 25 cents per click.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody in AdWords nowadays is going to know that's a great cost per click. I mean, it's very low, very low. So it was certainly something we had to talk about. I had to discuss with them one thing. This is one of the conclusions. I'm going to jump into some of the conclusions and results that we got in the campaign once we started making these changes. This is really take home point number one. A successful campaign is going to generate higher quality traffic. Higher quality traffic costs more. And the most important thing that you can do if you're a freelancer out there, you're an agency, or you're just reporting to your boss in-house, is prep them for a cost per click increase.
Explosion.
Yeah.
Volcanic eruption.
Sometimes that's true, especially if you get absolute junk traffic. So to get to the point here is that they were paying 25 pence per click, and they move to £1.60 per click.
That's like a 500 to 600% increase.
Yeah, it's really big.
You suck, bro. That's what a lot of clients would say. So how do you, because honestly, I need to learn from you, Chris. Like, because I can say over and over, your quality is better, your quality traffic, all this deeper in the funnel. What's the magic word to get people to actually understand that it's not the cost per click that matters? It's how much new business you get for the same budget. What do you do that's so good to make them become believers?
Yeah, and I've had this client for 3 or 4 years now. So, I mean, I've been with them for a long time. So this is not something where I say I succeeded and then they fired me because they got so repulsed by the cost per click. This is a successful client for me. And the fact is, you really have to explain quality. You have to explain that if you go to the dollar store and you buy something, you're going to get a certain quality and you pay a certain price. And AdWords is the same rule. If you expect quality, you're going to have to pay a bit more for it. There is no free ride. There's no magic bullet to just get cheap traffic. If there was a magic bullet to get cheap traffic, then the auction system doesn't work, because the auction system is based on demand and supply. If lots of advertisers want a certain keyword and there's only so many searches a day for that, then not everyone can get it cheap. And this is a client that I think is in a perfect position to show that cost per click goes up if there's a significant change in your quality. This is not always the case for everyone. Just because you get someone to manage your campaign does not mean you're going to pay more per click every time. Sometimes it's less. But if you have a significant difference in quality, if you're getting free royalty background music searches and you're getting phone number for the voice, if this is the kind of traffic you're getting, you're going to see an increase of the cost per click, because when you go from crap to winner, it's going to cost you more on Google.
The downside, the costs go up, but the good thing is that you start actually getting leads from this more valuable traffic and you grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. The part two of that, once you've prepped, after that happens, and I'm speaking more to the freelancers, the managers themselves have to report to someone. After that, the follow-up to explaining that someone is going to be getting more per click is to visually show them, because Jason, as you know, something you see with your eyes is much more persuasion heavy than just with your voice. So show them on a screen, here's what your search query traffic looked like before. Mm-hmm. The voice, free background music, royalty-free music, just absolute crap will never get you a lead, versus here's what you're getting now. Suddenly it pales in comparison. So what you can lay out for them is the money you spent before is the same, and you were still spending, you know, $300 a month. Now you're spending $300 a month, but you're getting something out of it versus completely throwing it away every month. That's the difference. Don't get caught up on how much it costs to do that.
Right.
It's still money spent. That's what it's about.
Yeah, it's the same money going out every month, and look what it's bringing in. Another chart I love to show new clients, Chris, is you can get the blue and orange colors, that table in AdWords right above your data. And I love to show them the conversions over time. And you can, once you start getting quality traffic like this, you can just see that orange line of conversions going up and up and up. And that really hits home to people that, hey, yeah, my cost per click is more, but look, I'm getting more business from the same AdWords budget. So Chris, you talked about going for a position of like 3 to 4. You put in here your average position was 3.5, high enough above the organic traffic to get seen and get clicked on, but low enough to ensure you're not overpaying for the top spot. Reasonable. Where did things come in with the click-through rate for this B2B campaign, and how did it compare to what they had as a click-through rate?
Yeah, so click-through rate, you know, this may be surprising, but they were getting a click-through rate of 1%. Not horrible, but that's because a lot of people were clicking on something expecting to get the phone number for the voice. You know, I mean, they were responding to something completely that was probably written as a very poor ad. So 1%. After the optimization, after a few months, we got 3%. Now, keep in mind, 3% isn't very impressive for a click-through rate. I have plenty of clients that are in 15%, some that are in 23% click-through rates.
It's not bad, though.
It's not bad, but here's the thing. This is an average position of 3.5. So I would not say that click-through rate is something to use as a success or failure metric in your campaign, because it's so relative to where you are. If you are not trying to dominate the rankings, then you're going to have to back off in your expectations for click-through rate. And this is something that, you know, we had to explain to the client. I mean, he wasn't really hung up on that, but, you know, it's not as much as of a makeover as a surprise as, you know, what he might have been expecting.
Now, what was the result of all this great quality traffic? Is it actually turning into leads? Are they actually getting sales? And how do they feel about AdWords today?
Well, starting last year, they decided that AdWords has become such a vital part of their company that they started making plans for this year, 2018, to be able to double the amount that they're spending in AdWords. So obviously it has become such a vital part of bringing in new leads and sales that they saw this a while ago and started preparing to spend more in it. So they've doubled their spend, and I know that it's an indispensable resource for them. What used to be just kind of a throw money at it and, okay, we're on Google and we're not really sure. I mean, talking for years, again, October 2002, they finally took things serious. You know, all that time, we're talking about 15 years of spending on Google AdWords, and finally, just in these past few years, now they've realized how valuable and how important it is to get the right kind of traffic, that they're doubling their spend. You know, I mean, that's a testament after 17 years of spend, now they're going to really push the envelope on it. I think that's a really big success.
Yeah. I think that's great, Chris. I think one of the things people love about the Paid Search Podcast is that we simplify an advertising outlet that maybe is not so simple for a lot of people. And this was a very impressive case study you wrote up for us, very impressive details and all that. But to be honest with you, in terms of simplifying it, you only did one thing. You looked at the kind of traffic they were getting, and you said, okay, I see a little potential in here, but you're not getting the right kind of traffic. I'm going to get you the right kind of traffic. And
sounds simple, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's what people like. They like to get to the extreme simplification of what you actually did. So There's a million technical things you did. Mm-hmm. Finding the keywords, parsing out good from bad, new ad copy, breaking out the one campaign for the whole world, which is insane, to country by country and prioritizing the most profitable markets. You did a million technical things, and we have other episodes where we get real technical. But I think the beauty of this case study is it showed that you diagnosed the problem, and then you fixed the problem, which was the kind of searches they were getting, and figuring out how to get good searches and block out the bad ones. And all of a sudden, AdWords start to work.
Yeah.
So I think it's a beautiful simplification because it just shows you go through all this stuff, but really the goal, you knew the goal from day one.
Yeah.
And then you made it happen.
I certainly love the questions that we get on the podcast. You know, people leave questions on YouTube and they send questions in, but...
Why did Google capitalize the W in the word AdWords when the A's the first letter in the word?
Well...
Thanks, guys. Love the show.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I mean, details of what if I just did one ad in one ad group, you know, or what if I did three ads or four ads? I mean, is that... And people get really specific about these things, but... I think you're right. You know, this case study, you know, I didn't get into how many keywords I had in my ad group. I didn't even talk about if I used modified broad much or exact or phrase match, because that's really not important. If you're getting the traffic quality that works for your client or for you, you've hit your goal. You've accomplished what you've set out to do. And the rest, those are just details. That's where the optimization comes in month after month. I have to tell that to clients all the time. You know, first, let's get these things under wrap and make sure you're not wasting money anymore. Then we'll start worrying about the little details of this or that. You know, what kind of ad copy should we have? What kind of ad extensions work better? That kind of stuff happens till the end of time.
Yep, till the end of time. So they went 15 years without you, and hopefully they'll go 15 years with you. So, Chris, that was our first case study. I'm very impressed with what you brought to the table here. I will have a case study, I believe, coming up in episode number 95.
Yeah.
So you can pepper me with questions then. Now, Chris, next week we're going to mix it up again with episode number 92, and we're going to do the 10 AdWords tips for a specific industry. And we're going to get into the weeds that we were just talking about not getting into. We're going to get super detailed, and we're going to really go all out, and hopefully it's an informative episode.
Yeah. You don't want to tease a little more on the industry?
It's something that a lot of people use every day.
Okay. That's great.
It's selling it to those people.
Okay.
Got to keep them coming back, Chris.
Great contrast between, you know, just the idea of search traffic and how it can be done on a larger scale. And next week, we'll really get into the nitty-gritty on some of our favorite tips for specific industries. So,
you want to hang out after the show?
I've got to wash my hair.
Okay. Just checking, because you were asking me how I was doing before the show.
Yeah, I'm over it.
All right. Take us out.
Yeah. No, I think you should.
All right. We're out. See you.
Thanks for listening. Catch you guys next week.